This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack. But with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's the Legal Hour with our good friend Kevin Flesh. So we'll open up the phone lines right at the start here, 303-477-5600. If you've got any kind of legal question today, we would like to be of help to you. So see if we can stump the lawyer. But first of all, let's welcome the man of the hour, and that's Kevin Flesh. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Scott.
Well, again, we are here for the full hour with Kevin, so if you've got a legal question, we will try to help you out. Our number is 303-477-5600.
Any of those questions that you have that you've never thought that you would get a lawyer to answer, let's try
sure.
that today.
And I get questions all the time. You know, people call me. I say, look, call the show right. when you want to know something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
So, great
exactly.
thing. I want to start off with today. Working on a couple of things with you with some referrals and folks had some accidents. And I kind of want to walk through the process a little bit and what you say, you know, here's what you have to understand when you get into an auto accident. You hire an attorney, whether it's you or anybody else. This is a process. This is not a everyday phone call back and forth with you. It's not 3 days and everything's settled.
Right.
So what are just some tips off the start? And then we got some things we're going to get into today for the show. But what are just some tips that you say, hey, look, here's what you got to understand?
Yeah, so a lot of times when we sign up a new client and they've just been in an accident, they want things to progress pretty quickly relating to certain aspects of the case. And there are things that just can't happen right away. You know, obviously at the beginning of the case where you've just had an accident where you have problems with your car, let's say your car is totaled or
right.
you have damage to the vehicle that you need to take care of. That generally can happen pretty quickly. But if you're making a claim against the at-fault party's insurance for your vehicle damages, pursuant to statute, they have up to 30 days to resolve that portion of the claim. And so people want to get that portion done right away. And the trouble is you're at the mercy of that claim rep and how busy they are in going out looking at the vehicle and doing the things they need to do. And I get frustrated all the time because I think it should happen faster, but insurance companies have a volume of these sorts of cases and they just, you know, there's always accidents happening. So they just take them as they come and they
right.
have their own process. And so, you know, I can talk to the client every day and we may have contact every day to begin with, but when I don't have anything except to say I haven't heard anything, that can be just as frustrating for both sides too.
Sure.
I mean, it is a difficult point in the case because you've just had all of these things happen to you. You want to get certain things resolved because you feel like at least that way you're moving the case forward, and it doesn't always happen that way. So the things that I try to help people with is have them understand sort of the process and be responsive to them so that they understand I hear them
mm-hmm.
and I want to help them with it, and then we're doing whatever we can to get the insurance company to move as quickly as possible. But that's generally speaking why we're involved, because the insurance companies just act like insurance companies sometimes.
Sure.
And when, especially when you have, it's different if it's your own insurance company. That's where they generally have a duty to maybe act in good faith.
Right.
The insurance company for the person that has caused you the injury or caused the vehicle damage doesn't have that same duty. And so they're going to get to it when they get to it. And that's really the trouble, because what happens, and I've had this happen a couple of times over the last 20 years, we'll be so upset with the lack of their quickness in the way that they're going to resolve a property damage claim that I can file suit today and I can get their insured served tomorrow. But then a lot of times they have 21 days or longer to answer.
So you're really not accomplishing anything.
Not accomplishing anything. In fact, what happens is that claim rep that was there for pre-litigation or sort of the beginning of the claim, that claim then is transferred to another claim rep.
Once you file suit.
Yeah, because then it's in litigation, and then I get a whole new set of eyeballs, and they don't always move any quicker. And then we're sitting around for a month, and I've caused more harm than good relating
right.
to that. And quite frankly, what happens in that situation is that we may get that property damage claim taken care of, but if you have significant injuries, you're a year away from getting those resolved. And so filing suit right away doesn't do me any good because I don't have all of the evidence for the damages relating to what we're claiming. And so that's the really hard part that people have trouble with, because I think people in general want to get better so much faster than their body actually does. Mm-hmm. So mentally they may be able to get through it and get over with it and say, I'm ready to get this done, when they're not physically able to get their injuries resolved.
Right.
And so when that doesn't happen, I understand it's frustrating. And so all we can do is educate, like we do on the show, and do the same in conversations with the people individually, to hopefully at least have them understand. You know, it's one of those situations where as soon as you understand it, you still don't like it, but hopefully it's a little less frustrating.
Right.
Because that's where we are in a lot of cases. And it just takes time.
And that's when, you go through that initial consultation, which is free, by the way. You can tell right there, hey, hire me, trust me.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to do everything to get you the most, too, because that helps you, too.
Absolutely. I mean, I want to get the cases done as quickly as possible, because that's how we make our money. That's how I, feed my family and make sure my employees are paid and everything else. That's a huge motivator for me. And but at the same time, I can't do it any faster than it's physically possible to get healed, and also any faster than the court system or the system in the insurance game works. And
right.
It's just they sometimes don't move as quickly as you'd like them to, and it's just the nature of the beast, so to speak.
Absolutely. Again, Kevin Flesh is with us. Check out Kevin's website at fleshlawfirm.com. That's F-L-E-S-C-H lawfirm.com. Kevin's number, 303-806-8886. I always tell you every show he's with us, every other week. Put that in your phone. You never know when you may need it. We hope you never do, but when you need it, it needs to be right at your fingertips. Now, there's a number of legal defenses used here in Colorado that injured victims need to be aware of when considering the value of their case. Probably the first thing is, whose fault is it?
Yeah, and just sort of bootstrapping with what we were just talking about with the time periods, that's also something that comes into play with the insurance companies, because what happens, your vehicle is damaged, and your company, you make a claim with your company, and let's say they go out, and it doesn't matter whose fault is it, because it's your company, so they're going to cover your vehicle damage. So in that case, they can go and make a determination about value, but let's say you get sideways with your company about what the value is, and you think that maybe the at-fault party's insurance will give you a better value, will give you a higher value for your vehicle, which is sometimes true, depending upon the company. Some companies, just their claims process, they value vehicles better than other companies. They tend towards the retail value versus the wholesale value, that sort of thing. At any rate, so in this time period that we're talking about it with regard to liability, you can get an answer from your own insurance company pretty quickly about what the value of your vehicle is. But in the event that you don't agree with it and you want the at-fault party now to make a decision, they then have to do an analysis of liability first before they can start talking value of your vehicle. Because I see this happen with a couple of companies recently. The company will say, well, we think that your vehicle is worth, let's say, $10,000, just for easy number. We totaled the vehicle. We think it's worth $10,000. But we've done the analysis relating to liability, and we believe you are 30% at fault, and our insured is 70%. So we're willing to offer you $7,000.
Gotcha.
So then you start getting into a fight about liability, and it's now taking you even longer, because they had the other party's insurance had to get statements from their insured. Maybe you've done a recorded statement with them where you should have a lawyer involved and make sure that you're saying what happened and what took place, so that you minimize the amount of fault that you're implicated in. And then it gets even more frustrating, because that other party now is using some of these legal defenses that we're talking about relating to contributory negligence, or basically the insurance company is saying, listen, we are the majority of the fault, but you have to take some fault, too, just for driving, or something happened with the accident in which they think that you contributed to that accident. And if you have, you don't get compensated for that.
Right.
And that is a very, very difficult legal theory to have people get, in the sense of not only settling a case, but also talking about going to trial. I'm going to trial in about 10 days, and there's one defendant that we really have involved in the case. But there's going to be two non-parties. So people that we haven't sued that the defendant is saying, well, they could be partially at fault as well. Mm. And so they're going to try to put on evidence to say that they're at fault so that at the end in the jury deliberations, there are going to be the other two parties that really aren't in the lawsuit, but they could say they're partially at fault as well.
Right.
That'll minimize the amount that my clients in the end will get from this particular defendant. And it's a classic move by a defendant and their lawyer to say, look at this empty chair, and this empty chair is more at fault than we are, so we shouldn't have to pay anything.
Hmm.
And we can dive into that a little bit more, but the point is that defense can sometimes be very, very appealing to jurors.
Sure. So let's take this two ways.
Sure.
If you have an accident and it's not your fault, should you call your own insurance company immediately, so to speak?
Yeah.
Or should call you first to let you know there's been an accident and then see what's going on?
So what I would do first before calling a lawyer is if you know you're not at fault for the accident and the other person is admitted liability, essentially,
right.
I would be calling their insurance company to make a claim. I get these questions all the time because people buy their insurance and they know if they make a claim with their insurance company that their rates are going to go up,
right?
Which is probably true. Now, we could have a whole nother show about whether or not the pricing of that insurance policy, you can't. There are so many people out there that are, they appreciate the insurance company that they've had for 30 years until they make a claim and then they get, mm-hmm. they feel like they get,
booted
they just
out.
Don't get, yeah,
yeah,
they get booted out or they don't get bit treated very well,
right.
And they're always worried about the insurance company raising their rates. But of course, if you do any shopping for car insurance in particular, you know that those rates vacillate every year. So you should be looking at it every year,
right?
And making that decision and not having this belief that because you've been with one company for 30 years, you're getting the best rate with them, because you may not be. So people have trouble actually making a claim on their own insurance, and because they feel like, oh, my rate's going to go up. Well, it could. But that's also why you have insurance. And so, I mean, a lot of people have trouble with that, and that's what they worry about. So my first advice, if you're anxious about that and you know that the other party should be taking full responsibility, make a claim with them. If that company, as we were talking earlier, isn't treating you very well or is trying to say that you're 30 or 40 or 50% at fault,
right.
Then you want to make a claim with your own insurance company because you're going to get, generally speaking, the best outcome relating to your property damage with your own insurance.
Okay.
If the person has hit you, is at fault, but they have no insurance, you want to make a claim with your own insurance for underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage.
Right. And you know, you said something there. You said if that person's taking responsibility, which makes me think, when you get out of a vehicle, if you're okay enough to walk up and talk to people, don't start apologizing.
Right.
If you did something, right?
Correct.
Or start admitting fault,
yeah.
Even if it is your fault. Don't say anything.
Oh, you
right?
definitely don't want to. Yeah, and I see that's really good evidence for me, especially where I had a case filed at 90 days ago. They answered, they denied liability. Like, weird. That's weird because in the report it said that their driver was very apologetic, and so I immediately set their insured's deposition, and I got this person under oath, and the person said, it's completely my fault. And I wanted to say to the lawyer that was representing him, you know, why are you denying it when your client is mm-hmm. telling you? Because as officers of the court, we have an obligation to actually answer the way that their client is
right.
actually telling us. And so I had to go through this process with the deposition. And I did talk to the lawyer afterward. Yeah, that's really compelling evidence if you have somebody that says that at the accident scene. Because most likely, if they're consistent, they're going to be consistent throughout the whole time period.
Sure.
But if they're not, it's nice to have that evidence early so that if they flop later mm-hmm. and say, oh, I didn't mean it, you know, it affects their credibility. And certainly if you're doing it, you know, you've got to be ready to tell your insurance company, listen, I admitted fault.
Right.
Because I was at fault.
Right.
And but if you don't want to go through that and you don't know at the time, you definitely just don't want to say anything. It's just like talking
sure.
to a police officer. Try to say as little as possible.
Yeah. And before I break here real quick, always call the police pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, because like I say, it's documented there. If people may get out and say, hey, look, I don't want to turn this into my insurance. The guy may seem like a nice guy. Lady may seem like a nice lady. But you know what? You're putting yourself in a horrible position by doing that.
You are, absolutely. Especially because you know, we've talked about it before, at least probably a third of the drivers in the state don't have insurance. So if they provide you some sort of proof of insurance, maybe one out of the three times that insurance isn't valid or it's not good. And you want to have a police officer there to document that so that mm-hmm. later on you're just not holding the liability and damages bag on your own.
Sure.
You want to be able to document it. And insurance companies, that's part of the process. Insurance companies like to see that additional documentation to make some decisions about liability. And if they have a report from a police officer, they feel those are pretty credible. If they're, you know, they're professional individuals, third parties that are outside the scope of that particular accident, theoretically they don't have any reason to make things up.
Right.
And so their reports are generally, they're trying to be as accurate as possible, so they rely on them considerably. And jurors do too. So that's why it's helpful for them to be there.
Kevin Flesh is with us. It's the Legal Hour. If you've got a legal question, our lines are open. 303-477-5600. We'll be right back.
Without changing your budget, own your home faster. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have learned to pay less interest to the bank, not change their spending habits, and own their home faster. Affordable Interest Mortgage has a possible solution. 720-895-0500. Does your current loan allow you to access your equity without refinancing for another loan at higher rates? Does your current loan allow your equity to make your mortgage payment without late fees or dinging your credit? At AIM, we have a loan that allows you those freedoms, all for 30 years. This could be the last loan you need. Pay off your home faster, pay less interest to the bank, access your equity when you need it, skip payments. Call AIM for details, 720-895-0500. If you're tired of paying all that interest up front on a traditional 30-year fixed, call 720-895-0500 and let us save you thousands. Home of the Asset Manager, locally owned and operated, where it is all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298-191, Equal Credit Lender.
Littleton Heating and Air Conditioning is proud of their 45 years of HVAC service to Littleton, Highlands Ranch, and Denver metro area. Littleton Heating and Air Conditioning is your Lennox and Carrier expert heating and air conditioning contractor. They are proud to offer the finest heating, air conditioning, and indoor air quality products with prompt and professional customer service and satisfaction. Call today and mention Haystack Help Radio and save $25 off any repairs or $100 off your furnace installation. Call 303-798-3880. That's 303-798-3880 for your appointment today. Littleton Heating and Air, A-plus members of the Better Business Bureau and official Haystack Help registered company.
Ladies, I know you're tired of walking into the local gun store and seeing the same old thing. So let me tell you about Rampart Firearms. Just a quarter mile up Highway 67 off of Santa Fe and Sedalia, you will find a great selection of guns, ammo, tactical, and personal defense weapons. And if you or your spouse love to hunt, Rampart Firearms is a great stop for all of your hunting needs. Shotguns, rifles, pistols, anything from predator hunting to your next big game trip. Head to Rampart Firearms at the foot of the Rockies. Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And you will only pay a 4% tax on your purchase. RampartFirearms.com, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050.
Rush to Reason with John Rush. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Once again, if you're just joining us, it's a Legal Hour with Kevin Flesh. And if you got a legal question, give us a ring, 303-477-5600. You can check out Kevin's website at fleshlawfirm.com. That's F-L-E-S-C-H lawfirm.com. Now, we've talked about a term called contributory negligence. Explain kind of what that is a little bit, and then
yes.
We'll take it a little further.
Sure. So, contributory is pretty straightforward. Something contributes to something. So the idea is, in this particular case, negligence. First of all, with negligence, you have to prove that someone has a duty to you somehow. So they either have to do something to protect you or not do something to cause you injury, basically. So in an accident, most accidents, you know, accidents can happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can get into a situation where I hit you and it isn't my fault. Maybe an act of God sometimes. There are different defenses relating to that.
Sure.
But still, as a plaintiff, even if you're injured, you have to prove that somebody did something that breached a duty that they had to you. Now, in most cases, car accidents, you can say if a person rear-ends you, you know, they were following too closely. They weren't paying attention. They were texting in the car. They were putting makeup on their car. I mean, there's all kinds of things that people do. But the idea is that you, in car accidents or in a slip and fall case or those sorts of things, you're saying somebody was supposed to do something and they didn't do it and they caused you injury. Either they hit you or they didn't clean up ice or snow and you fell, you know, all of those sorts of things. So the idea is this contributory negligence. This theory is that there can be multiple people in particular cases that could cause you injury. So the best example that I have a lot of times is I had a case 2 years ago. There was a multi-car accident on 6th Avenue where I think there were five cars in a row traveling down 6th Avenue as we do, and they were all traveling probably too closely together.
Yeah.
But they were, and at some point in that line of traffic, somebody veered in front of all five of these cars and caused the front one to slam on his brakes, which caused the ones behind them to do the same, and eventually some of those cars hit each other. And then once those cars hit each other, the person in car six then didn't see them stop and cause this accident, and they didn't stop, and they hit. And there was a double impact potentially for people that were involved in this accident. So the question for a jury in that case, let's say there's six cars, the three cars in the middle sort of all similarly situated, maybe traveling too close together, maybe not, but they all sort of were impacted by, first of all, the person in the front causing that front person to stop or very quickly. And then they were hit from the back by someone that wasn't paying attention or potentially being too close. So those three cars have people in them that were injured. Well, who caused those injuries, right? Who contributed to those injuries?
Right.
And that's where you get into the debate about how much was it from the first front
to the last guy.
To the last guy. And the people in the middle, right? Because theoretically, if you've got five people, the first person that caused the person to immediately slam on their brakes seems to be a contributor, a major contributor, because they were all traveling just fine by themselves until you add that additional sort of problem in the space, on the roadway. So they certainly would cause the rest of this to occur. And that it could be that they're 100% at fault because everybody else was traveling just fine and not in an accident before that person in front. And that's why juries and juror questions about this are really interesting. So it could be the front. Of course, for a long time, Colorado had this legal theory that if you ran into the back of someone, if you rear-ended someone, automatic. Yeah. You're presumed to be at fault. Well, so if you believe that, then the last guy that caused that ran into this group of cars would be 100% at fault. But of course, there was already an accident that had occurred before they hit that group of cars. So then you've got to take apart, well, when did the injury occur? And of course, it's, you know, we do it in sporting events, right? We're able to get the replay and we're able to look at it frame by frame, whether it's a catch or it's not a catch in the NFL,
sure,
for example. So you can't do that normally here. I wish you could, but most people don't have cameras outside of their vehicles watching exactly that we can replay it. But let's assume for the moment that we did have that. You know, I think you'd probably find, okay, the person in front, you know, caused these other four cars to stop abruptly and cause injury to people. And then the person behind, again, caused that whiplash motion. So they're probably equally at fault. But that's the whole theory about the contributory negligence and who has to pay. And that's where people have a really hard time a lot of times, because you have two cars, it's not hard. It's either the one or the two cars normally or jointly, where you could, I'll give you another example. A two-car incident where the person rear-ends the other person. Well, normally you'd think automatically the person that rear-ended the other person is at fault. But if the facts are it was a road rage situation where the person that was eventually rear-ended was behind that person that caused or that did the rear-ending, but they sped up, got in front of them, and then slammed on their brakes, well, then the person in front's probably at fault, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a factual determination that you've got to develop over time to find out what exactly has happened. And that's why a lot of times it's helpful for the police to get there, because they've, especially accident reconstructionists, because they'll have spent enough time that they'll look at the configuration of the vehicles, and that's why they don't want you to move the vehicles when you get into an accident. So they can look and they can generalize, okay, it looks like this is how things happen, because there's rules of motion and rules that, you know, engineering principles relating to vehicles and how they react and in these crashes that help these folks make some determinations before they talk to someone.
Right.
And then they can go talk to people and get some explanation about what they think happened. And each individual person in each one of those vehicles, the one that I was talking about with regard to Sixth Avenue and all of the multiple vehicles there, each one of them is going to have a different perspective on what took place. The person in the front is going to probably have their focus on the person that slammed on their brakes in front of them, and then they had to stop quickly.
Sure.
They won't have any idea about car number six and what happened with them. So that's how these cases develop, and that's how people, especially in those cars that are in the middle, where they've been hit twice, but they don't know exactly what happened, it makes it really hard.
Oh, yeah.
And this is where defendants, a lot of times in these claims, and their insurance companies, make a lot of progress in their defenses in pointing fingers. And that's really what it's about, because they want to pay as little as possible towards the injuries of the person that's been hurt. And so that example is one where multiple vehicles in an accident make it very difficult for the person that's hurt, because it's always a question of who can you prove was most at fault.
So how do you go about deciding? So let's say you got five vehicles, and vehicles 2, 3, and 4. I mean, will these insurance companies, you got five different insurance companies, let's say.
Yep.
I mean, how do you go about delegating, you know, what insurance is going to cover what portion? I mean, do they split it up?
They will. You know, each insurance company will take and do its own investigation and come to its own conclusions. And sometimes they match in their conclusions. And so you can get everybody in a room in a mediation session or something like that and have everybody agree as to how it happened. Those are the easy ones.
Yeah.
The more difficult ones, the ones that I was just talking about where I've had to try the case, and I've had to try more of these recently as our traffic has gotten worse. And insurance companies are testing this theory a little bit, because it used to be you rear-ended somebody, mm-hmm. you're at fault. But that's not what jurors are saying now. The jurors are saying, we want to hear the whole scenario of what took place. And if that person in the front that caused it, we believe, was driving erratically or driving in a manner that we don't think is prudent on our roadways right now, they're going to hold those people responsible, even though it could be that driver number six way in the back was too close,
right,
and couldn't do anything, just because they couldn't do anything. Because
and if that guy's got the $25,000 policy, a lot of people are.
Yeah, I just went to trial on one where that exact scenario happened. There were three cars. The person in front, we never did find. So there was an underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage. The person that hit my client from the back was a commercial vehicle. It smashed my client's car. Crazy. But the evidence was that they thought they were traveling with enough distance, and they thought that they were doing everything that they thought was appropriate. We made the argument, you rear-ended our client, you should pay. Jury said, no, the person in front caused this whole thing to happen, so we're putting it all on them. And they gave him 100% fault. They didn't give my client any fault, and they didn't give the guy behind him. They said it was the person in front. And so, yeah, I mean, the person that hit my client had $1 million worth of coverage, but he's not at fault.
Right.
So they don't have to pay if he's not at fault.
And I would think in most of the, especially get I-25, 225, I-70, I mean, I think we've all seen somebody run into somebody, and then we just kind of go around. Very few people stop to see if they can be a witness. So it's probably pretty difficult to get witnesses to hang out if they weren't involved, right?
That's exactly right. The case that I just finished, it was exactly that. It was I-70. It was early morning, 8 o'clock, bumper-to-bumper traffic, and people are... There's a lane they've lost a lane because of construction, and people are trying to dart into the lanes that are through mm-hmm. lanes. And it's, I know, it's awful.
Yeah.
Right. And the problem, so I'm questioning the jurors about, you know, just their driving and that sort of things. And that's the discussion we had is, well, how much room do you leave? Because if you leave, as the jurors said, if you leave too much room,
people are blowing up there and jumping.
Right. They just jump in. And so then the gap that you've left, that's probably a reasonable gap, has just now been diminished because there's now a car there.
Right.
And that's the trouble that this commercial driver was having that particular morning, is if he'd leave extra room, then people were dumping into his lane. And that's the trouble he had. And they agreed with him. The jurors afterward, when I spoke with them, liked my client, was really disappointed about understanding what would happen after that, and that they liked the driver of the commercial vehicle, too. And they said, you know, we don't think either one of you did anything wrong. It was the person in the front, and you didn't know where they were. And so that's why, you know, if you can get more information, if you can get people to stick around, absolutely, it's helpful. And unfortunately, have as much underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage as you can.
Yeah.
Because if that person darts in, causes the accident, even though you're rear-ended by someone else, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get any money from them.
It's the Legal Hour with Kevin Flesh. Our lines are open. If you've got a legal question, 303-477-5600. This is Haystack Help Radio.
What could you do with an extra $500, $1,000, or even $1,500 per month? How would that change things for you? Would you buy a new car, pay off bills, or just feel a bit more secure about your retirement? What if I told you there's a way to make your dreams a reality? I'm talking about trading and investing in the market. Now, before you say, oh, that's not for me, just hear me out. I want to invite you to a half-day trading course so you can check this out. I promise you, you'll go away smarter than when you came in. We here at Online Trading Academy sponsor this, and we'll even send you home with a free home study video guide. Your money's doing nothing for you in a CD or mutual fund. Learn how to profit when the market's up or down. Call us now while seats are still available at 303-325-2776. Use offer code RADIO50. 303-325-2776. That's 303-325-2776.
When people see the new, beautiful cat lodge at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they're pretty impressed. With its sleek condo spaces, stunning wall murals reflecting Colorado mountainscapes, custom-built cat trees made from real aspen and spruce, and a colorful and entertaining fish tank, we couldn't be happier to show it off. The Cat Lodge is a special place for cats of all ages and sizes to hang out when their families are away, providing much-needed peace and tranquility. Whether your special friend loves to lounge, nest, explore, or be entertained, you can rest assured that your special companion will find something that suits his or her fancy. The atmosphere is relaxing and stress-free and filled with cat-friendly activities and objects of interest. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, we understand how stressful it can be to leave a beloved pet behind when you have to be away. Call Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center with your questions about our new cat lodge and our cat boarding services. 303-708-8050 or visit LoneTreeVet.com.
I was out on my motorcycle and a car came out of nowhere and hit me. And I was hurt bad. My life was instantly turned upside down. I can't go to work. My bike was totaled. I had some savings, but that's all gone. And on top of all that, the person who hit me didn't have any insurance at all. I just don't know what to do.
After you've been in a motorcycle accident, call Kevin Flesh at Flesh Law. He will answer all of your questions. Kevin Flesh will help you determine if you are entitled to compensation for your pain and suffering. And he has the experience and the knowledge to navigate the complicated maze created by the insurance company designed to minimize your claim. Call Kevin Flesh of Flesh Law at 303-806-8886 to find out how he can help you to get the compensation that you deserve. That's Kevin Flesh, 303-806-8886. Call now and get back on the road.
If you're looking for great deals on outdoor equipment and clothing, we've got you covered. Hi, this is Bill Paddock, owner of the Outdoorsman's Attic, your outdoor gear consignment headquarters. You'll save 20, 30, 40, even 50% on previously owned outdoor gear for the fisherman, hunter, and camper. We also sell live bait, firearms, and ammo. If you're doing a little spring cleaning, bring in your gear to the Outdoorsman's Attic. We'll sell it for you and put cash in your pocket. You can also pick up your hunting and fishing licenses right here at the store. Your one-stop shop for all your outdoor gear needs is the Outdoorsman's Attic, located at 2650 West Hampton Avenue in Sheridan, Colorado. 303-781-3626. That's 303-781-3626. Or visit us online at outdoorsmansattic.com. Mention Sportsman's of Colorado and receive 20% off all your outdoor clothing.
Denver's Afternoon Rush. Rush to Reason is coming up at 3. Now, back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to the Legal Hour with Kevin Flesh. My name is Scott Watley. Glad to have Kevin in studio again. If you've got a legal question, give us a call, 303-477-5600. Let's go to the phones. We're going to talk to Maria in Lakewood. Maria, thanks for joining us here on the Legal Hour. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you.
Good. How can we help you?
Well, I just have a curious question. We have sewer problems, and we've had them for quite a while, and we finally dug down and figured out what the problem was. And about 18 years ago, the neighbors built a house, and they tapped into the wrong part of the sewer line. They tapped into ours and did a repair without telling anybody.
Really? Okay.
And then they covered it up, but we just found this out, and the water district doesn't, everybody wants to wash their hands of it. We've done a lot of work. Apparently, there was never even a permit issued for this, and there's been a lot of expense on our end.
Yeah.
As a homeowner, for something that we didn't create.
And can you prove who did the work that by tapping in and when it was done?
We can prove when it was done, which leads back to it had to be when they built the house, because they threw the piping they used to repair is date stamped, and that aligns with when they built the house.
Okay.
And they threw the pipe in and covered it up. In this big ditch, they threw all the trash and then covered it up where the sewer pipe is.
And
then you can see the repair was obviously repaired, and it was repaired improperly.
And is someone, the professionals that have now dug it up and determined the trouble that you're having with your sewer now, are they pointing towards the whole problem being related to this repair?
Correct.
Okay. And
which the water district let them do, and they have a water district has a drawing of it. And they did it under no permit.
Right.
And according to Lakewood and the water district. Anyway, it's just really a big, it's crazy.
So what's your relationship with your neighbor? I mean, are they the same people that built the house back 18 years ago, or has it been turned over to someone?
Well, she's elderly, the husband has passed, and they don't want to have anything to do with it.
Okay, so you've attempted to try to talk with them already, and you don't have any response from them in a positive way.
Correct. There was a engineer's report written, which was, you know, probably too much, too long, 50 pages, which probably overwhelmed them.
Right.
And so they just shut down.
Got it. And what sort of damages are you saying that you think have been caused by this change in the sewer line?
Well, the sewer's been, we've had to roto-root it every year for the last, you know, 15, 18 years.
Oh, seriously?
So
this is the first time that you've actually excavated the area and found out what took place.
Correct. And then, of course, the money we have into that.
Right. So I have a question for you. Let's say 12 years ago or 14 years ago when you've had to do this process and get your drain cleaned, why at that point didn't you think about opening this area up?
Well, they just told us it was roots.
Okay. Got it.
And, you know, I mean, and actually, there's two neighbors that are tapped into this, and when they had their roots roto-rooted, they were told the same thing. It's just tree roots.
Right. So this
so
is...
nobody really knew. We didn't know until we ran a cam line down there.
Yeah.
And saw that there's, you know, there's a break, and there's a problem. There was a roto-rooted blade stuck, and yeah, so it's, yeah.
Okay. So you've got a couple of things here. It's a long period of time. 18 years is, so there's a couple of issues that you're going to have that the other side is going to have defenses for. Number one is going to be just the basic statute of limitations and the statute of repose. So in real property issues like this and changes in the property where you've got modifications of it, there is a statute of repose. And what that means legally is that you need to know about this and bring suit within 6 years of this thing being done. Your argument certainly would be, listen, we didn't know about it at all, and no one put us on notice because there wasn't any, they didn't pull any permits, they didn't put the landowners on notice that this would be, you know, affected. So you've got an argument that...
Yeah, they didn't notify us that they drilled into the wrong area.
Yep, absolutely. So what I'm saying, though, is that I think you've still got a claim because you weren't made aware of it, and they didn't, they've got what's called a negligence per se violation potentially because they've violated the law in the sense that they didn't get a permit. And if you can prove that and prove that they did not provide you notice of what was going on, I think that your claim still may be viable. But it's also one of the things that you just have to be mindful of when you move forward with making a claim against these folks, because that's going to be their defense that, you know, too much time has gone by. And so, but it sounds like what you're going to have to do is figure out who exactly did this work, because they're going to be at fault as well as the landowner that authorized it. Does that make sense?
And then what's the city of Lakewood and the water district?
They're immune from suit.
I guess, yeah, apparently they are. They're immune from anything.
Yeah. So that we could have a whole show talking about governmental immunity. But for this sort of, now, it's not a water system. I mean, so there are a few exceptions to governmental immunity. One is a water system. The sewer line is on your property. It's not a main sewer line, right?
The sewer line is on a, not a conveyance, what do you call that? I can't think of the word.
Well, it's not part of the water system is what my question is.
Correct.
And the water, whoever the water board is, they weren't the ones that did the modification to the sewer line, right?
No, but they approved it.
They approved it, but they didn't approve what actually work was done, because it sounds like the work was defective, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, so they wouldn't have any liability. It would just be the people that, the contractor and the landowner at the time. And most likely it would just be the contractor that did the work. So you're going to have to figure out who did the work that to have the most viable claim.
Okay.
Okay. I'm sorry. That's an awful situation. And obviously there isn't any insurance for that sort of thing because it's not rising water necessarily, and there's probably a specific exclusion relating to the sewer. So,
so who do I talk to about this?
I would be talking to the neighbor that did the work, unfortunately. And if they're not helpful at all, then you're going to have to, I suppose you could go back to who approved the plans and see if they have any information about what company was actually going to be doing the work. That's going to lead you.
Yeah, we have all that information, and people have retired, and it's been a long time.
Right. And so if that company is gone, they probably didn't, for that sort of job, they didn't have bond or they didn't have insurance that's still in place. So it's one of those things that you may be out of luck, unfortunately.
And then why does it become our problem to fix?
Because you're the landowner and it's your sewer line.
Oh, wow, that's a good answer.
That's not the one you want to hear, but unfortunately there isn't anybody else to help you.
I know, yeah.
Now, Maria, have you looked at your policy on your home? Because like Kevin said, he was, of course, 100% right when he said, you know, there's some different things about water coming in and water coming up and all that stuff. Have you had someone really look at your policy to make sure there isn't some kind of coverage there?
No, I didn't.
You should do that. That's not a bad inquiry to see if there's any coverage for that sort of thing.
Okay.
Okay. Good luck to you. I'm sorry. Sorry to hear about your...
And if you need some help with the insurance thing or need someone to help you, give Charlie your number. Don't hang up. Give Charlie your number, and I'll call you after the show, and I can get someone from Group Insurance Analyst, our insurance folks, to maybe walk you through and tell you what to look for on your policy. And, hey, you never know. You know, there could be something there. But this is a great thing, Kevin. And Maria, thank you. But hang on, and Charlie's going to get your number, okay?
Thanks for listening, Maria.
So this brings up something real quick, Kevin, before our break. Boy, if you're doing construction stuff or you see neighbors around your area and homes are pretty close together these days,
right.
I mean, are there some things that we should, you know, the minute you see them digging in, hey, what are y'all doing? What's going on?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, a lot of times the HOAs are doing a pretty good job of, you know, if they have a committee relating to construction, they'll know what's going on and make sure things are done well. But, yeah, if you've got a neighbor that's in the backyard or even – you know, Comcast or Xfinity, or whatever they're calling themselves now, coming through and trenching things or doing different things. Absolutely, you want to be just aware on your premises what's going on. Even if the utility has an easement to go through your property, you want to make sure you understand what they're doing, because as I mean, she probably didn't even think about it.
Right.
And the other thing is if you continue to have recurring problems, I mean, poor Maria, I would think after the third or fourth or fifth year where you're having to come in and clean this out, and they're saying it's roots, you've got to wonder, especially with the technology.
Roots, oh my God.
Right. I mean, unfortunately, because if you could catch it earlier,
sure,
you certainly wouldn't have all that expense. But as well, you wouldn't have the arguments relating to the statute of limitations. And so don't let these things, because the statute of repose is tough. Mm-hmm. I mean, if that time period has gone by and they can prove it and that there's no real getting around that. Your claims may be dead.
And just like we talked about knowing your auto policy on your med pay, your uninsured motorist, underinsured motorist, you know your homeowner policy too. And again, GIA, call Yana there. 303-423-0162, and there are some different coverages you can get. You know, flood insurance, water comes in, water comes up through sewers, but you got to have that on your policy.
You know, the other thing that you bring up a good point, too, is there are these policies out there relating to home, you know, when you do inspections. And
home warranty stuff.
Home warranty sort of stuff. This is one of those things, especially in the environment that we're in with, you know, so many people. It's just crazy what people have to do to get a house these days in making these offers and being turned down. It's certainly one of those things, if you're stretched relating to major parts of your home, mm-hmm. in the sense of you're already spent a bunch of money that you didn't think you were going to have to spend, those warranties aren't a bad thing because they may cover certain things like this that will give you the ability to do it, and they're not that expensive.
Right.
Because otherwise you don't have anywhere to turn. Now, if she has to put in a whole new segment of sewer, she's had to, you know, dig up her yard. I mean, I can understand why it would be really frustrating.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Especially when you find out somebody else did it.
No kidding. We've got a few more minutes left here in the Legal Hour with Kevin Flesh. Again, if you've got a legal question, 303-477-5600.
Don't fall for gimmick ads when choosing your insurance coverage. Group Insurance Analyst has been Colorado's insurance superstore since 1984, where customers can compare and shop for all of their insurance needs. At GIA Insurance, their brokers have no allegiance to any particular health, auto, or home insurance company. Take advantage of their experience, expertise, and exceptional client service. For your free quote, call today at 303-423-0162. That's 303-423-0162. Visit their website, e-gia.com, or stop by their office at 44th and Garrison Street in Wheat Ridge. Group Insurance Analyst is an official Haystack Help registered company.
Hi, this is Scott Watley. Let me tell you what I love about Stack Optical. They are truly one of the last optician-owned, family-owned optical stores. At Stack Optical, you can be confident you'll receive personal attention. For over 50 years, Alan Stack has shown he really cares about making his customers happy. Stack Optical also has a beautiful new location at 2233 South Monaco Parkway in Denver. Free and easy up-close parking. Stack Optical has an on-site eyeglass production lab. Whether you need office eyewear or a new set of shooting or golf glasses, Stack Optical has the solution with the Stack Sport Pack. Give them a call today and ask for their $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. Your eyes and vision are one of the most important things in life. I'm confident at Stack Optical. You'll see the difference. That's 303-321-1578, stackoptical.com.
If you have questions about inheritance or beneficiaries and how it affects your retirement planning, Dot Mechtenberg can help you. Discuss your legacy wishes with Dot. She can help guide you through these crucial issues. Call Dot Mechtenberg today at 303-940-7807. That's 303-940-7807. Or visit dotmechtenberg.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Again, it's the Legal Hour with Kevin Flesh. 303-806-8886 is Kevin's number. And if you've got any kind of questions, and, you know, Kevin does a free consultation really on anything. So if it's a legal matter, he will meet with you and see if there's something there he can help you with and see the best way to be able to help you. Wanted to wrap up with one thing because, again, we our time is just about gone here. But we hear this a lot with governmental agencies, bringing claims against governmental agencies.
Yeah.
And different, you know, a city truck hit you, all this. I mean, what are all the complications if you get into an accident with some kind of governmental deal here?
Yeah, so anytime that you think, I mean, water boards are a good example. Who'd ever think that they're a governmental entity, but they are. Most of them are. Denver Water is its own entity, but it's a governmental entity. The University of Colorado Hospital is a governmental entity. These things that you'd think, oh, they must be on their own and they have their own assets and everything else, but they still fall under governmental entities. And the reason that that's important when they've caused an injury, one of their agents has caused an injury to you, mm-hmm. fire departments, they hit a car on their way to a fire. They may not have their lights on. Maybe they're whatever. Going to the grocery store and they just get into a fender bender.
Sure.
You have the ability to bring a claim against them. But the most important thing you have to remember is that under the Governmental Immunity Act, there's a blanket immunity. They're immune, period. You have to do two things to make sure that maybe you can get around that immunity. And the first thing is sending them a demand within 180 days of the action happening. So if you're injured in a car accident or something else, slip and fall on a government building, something like that, you may have the ability to bring a claim. But if you haven't filed that letter, that demand within the 180 days of the incident, you've now lost your ability to do it. No matter if you have a statute of limitations that's 2 years or 3 years in the case of a car accident,
wow.
If you haven't filed that demand appropriately with either the city attorney or the attorney for the entity or an agent for service for that entity, you have lost your claim. And that's where a lot of people fall down in that they think, and they do have a good valid claim, and they've made a demand in the sense of they're asking for money against an entity. I just had one recently against the Denver Water Board where the people were actually paid from the water board. But as soon as we sent the governmental immunity demand saying this is a water system, there's an exception to the Governmental Immunity Act because we believe that there was negligence in the way that you have taken care of the water system that caused my client damage because it flooded their basement. They then responded to me saying, oh, we're not immune because we're not negligent. Yes, you've done the right demand. Yes, you've gotten through all of those other hoops, but we're still denying it because we're not at fault. Mm-hmm. And so, but if you don't do that demand, then you're out completely. And it's really precise.
Right.
And so that's where if you have any concern, you've been in a car accident where it's clearly a police officer's fault that wasn't going to an emergency, that they just, you know, they were on their computer in their car and they rear-ended you.
I've always wondered. I saw a guy actually driving down a policeman going down the road, and he was actually
typing away yeah.
on his computer,
yeah.
doing about 55 miles.
Right. Fighting crime.
Yeah,
that's what
exactly.
We assume he's doing. But yeah, but if that individual rear-ends you, even though they've rear-ended you and they're at fault, you still have to do that demand. And if you don't, if it's 181 days after that car accident and you've not given them, you've lost your ability to bring a claim.
So what about real quick, you're following, you know, a trash truck, a snow plow. I mean, so all of something flies off truck, smashes through your wing. So, I mean, all of this is under that.
Yes, it is. And I've had that where big log fell off the back of a city truck and client ran over it, caused an accident, they were injured. We had to do the same thing because we said you should have had it tied down. You should have been responsible in that regard. It was still a car accident, so we were able to get around the immunity.
Gotcha.
I've had it where there was a bunch of debris in sidewalk, and you're walking up to your kid's school, and it's just not safe, right? Person falls down, and you'd think that would be covered. But because it's not ice and snow, the statute says specifically that these governmental entities are immune mm-hmm. from liability except for reasonableness relating to ice and snow removal. While rocks and other debris on a sidewalk is not ice and snow, so
sure.
They're immune. It's very fact-dependent on what happens with these. And the idea, and as much as I don't like the law, the idea is you and I as taxpayers, if they didn't have it in place, our taxes would go up because we know sure. government employees are negligent. And so if they were, we were able to sue them on a regular basis, then then it would go up.
Right.
Now, we still see the reports that you can still get around it, and there's still ways that they still have to pay. So my point is that it limits your recovery as a plaintiff, and it's very frustrating when you're going through the victimization. You've been really hurt by someone. And we saw it a few years ago, Governor Hickenlooper, when the people started those fires up in Jefferson County,
yep.
remember?
Yep.
And there was a cap on damages. The governor agreed and said, you know, we got to increase these caps so that you get more money.
Yep.
Those are the sorts of things that our government can do. And that's why it matters who's in office.
Exactly. Kevin, always great information. Give Kevin a call, 303-806-8886. If you've got any kind of legal issues that you may be going through, he can help you out. Again, that website is fleshlawfirm.com. That's F-L-E-S-C-H lawfirm.com. Thank you for joining us today for Haystack Help Radio and the Legal Hour. Our helpline is always there for you, 303-333-HELP, 303-333-4357. Hope everyone has a great rest of your day, and leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.